Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Ralph Dangelmeyer, who is CEO of BlueSnap. Hi, Ralph. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me again.
So let's dig a little deeper into, I know, your all-time favorite topic and certainly the area of expertise for BlueSnap, which is cross-border commerce. But let's start with sort of a level set and a basic observation around the opportunity for cross-border commerce. I think it's fair to say that, at least for now, it's a relatively small but certainly growing piece of the overall e-commerce opportunity. About 8% is some of the statistics I've seen recently. But it's 8% of the small overall e-commerce percentage of overall retail. But I think there's also the consensus that this is an area that is going to explode. What do your forecasts say about the opportunity for cross-border commerce over, say, the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, Karen, I agree with your statistics on where they are today. And although I don't think there's very good data on where it's going to be in the next 3 to 5 years, what we've done is we've taken a survey of the merchants that we work with today and the merchants that we're speaking to. Most agree that the opportunity will grow to 20 to 30%. And that depends on the product they're selling. And most agree that the fastest growing areas are China, India, Brazil, and Russia, kind of like the BRIC countries.
Yep.
And the other point that we recently read in the statistic was that only 27% of the people in the United States actually even have the ability to sell internationally. They don't even have cross-border ability on their e-commerce sites.
Wow. So it seems like there's, you know, certainly a lot of opportunity on both the demand and the supply side to get ready to seize this growing and important opportunity. But you mentioned the areas where there is this opportunity to seize. So I thought maybe we could go around the world a little bit. So let's pretend that we're jetting around and our first stop is China. And I think, you know, everyone sees that that's the juggernaut with respect to online sales for so many reasons, not the least of which is the growing emerging middle class that has the appetite for shopping, and particularly shopping online outside of China. But there are also some idiosyncrasies with respect to that opportunity that those selling into the market need to be prepared to address. Give us a sense of what some of those things are and how you guys are helping merchants prepare.
Yeah, China is a great spot. It's a very interesting country, as you mentioned. So not many people may realize that MasterCard and Visa for purchasing online is the minority. And what I've heard it referred to is actually that's probably one of the few countries where it is the alternative payment type. Because Alipay, with over 500 million registered users, is the preferred payment type for the Chinese when they're buying online.
Yep.
And if you're a merchant selling into China, and you're not offering Alipay, obviously, in Chinese, in their currency, it's going to be very, very difficult experience for that shopper, and therefore your sales could be very, very, could be very hampered by that.
Yep. Yep. I just read something also that suggested China UnionPay is now the largest issuer of debit products in the world, surpassing Visa. I mean, it's just astonishing how big that market opportunity is. And to your point, if you're not accepting those methods of payment, then the opportunity certainly isn't available.
You're right. And I just was on a panel at a conference that I'm at here in Las Vegas with someone from China UnionPay, and he told me that they've just topped issuing over 4 billion cards.
Good grief.
And I stopped and said to myself, now that seems more than the people in China, and they said that's because every time someone issues a checking account in China, they get issued a debit card. So every debit card has a China UnionPay card with it. So they far are the largest issuer now of debit cards in the world.
Wow. Okay, so that seems like something that is obviously important in order to do business with this big market. How hard is that to actually accomplish if you're a merchant? So what do you do if you need to actually accept an Alipay method of payment?
Well, there's two ways to do it, Karen. One is you can build it as a merchant. You can build your own checkout page. You can contact Alipay. You can build Chinese. You can build your own checkout pages. Or you can go to providers like us who have kind of out-of-the-box turnkey checkout pages that drop onto your account so you can service all of the world in what we call a turnkey fashion.
Well, that certainly seems like less of a headache than doing the former. But let's move on to India.
Sure.
So India is another, you know, interesting country, humongous opportunity, but lots of people say that it's about a decade behind China in terms of the ability to really capitalize on the volume of online sales for lots of specific reasons. Are you seeing some of the same things, and what are you advising merchants who see India as an opportunity to do?
Yeah, good question. India is tricky. There are traditional credit cards in India, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express have been there for a while. But I think what most people don't realize about India is it's extremely hard to get a credit card in India. There's very few cards being issued. And one of the reasons for that is, again, in the United States, we take this for granted, but there's no central credit card agency to do background credit checks on folks like it.
Mm-hmm.
Credit cards in India. So what's happened is people have resulted to checks, vouchers, wires, and there's a popular payment method called net banking, which is bank transfers. And again, those are all good for people who have bank accounts. But India also has a big unbanked population, and what's becoming more popular now is charging to your phone. It's happened in Kenya, and that's become very, very popular in India. However, not everyone in India has a smartphone, so there's the challenge there. So I do agree that India is a little bit behind from an e-commerce standpoint. It's more difficult to do business there, even though you can use English is more accepted language, obviously, in India.
So is there a consensus around what you have to do in order to serve that community? You have to be able to do direct-to-bank transactions in order to serve that customer base?
Yeah, you have to do net banking. If you don't do net banking, you're going to miss half the population that buys online today.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's travel to Russia. So that's another fascinating topic, and there's a lot going on there on lots of dimensions now. Of course, but what's interesting about Russia is how cash concentrated consumers really are. Even though they may have cards, they choose to use cash, in particular because they don't want the trail and they don't really trust using their cards in many situations. So how do you serve that marketplace in a cross-border e-commerce environment?
So another good question. I mean, the biggest thing that's really taken off in Russia is they've really adopted what we call the e-wallets.
Mm-hmm.
Things like PayPal, Skrill, Cashew, WebMoney, Yandex, Kiwi, and vouchers like Ucash are all very, very popular in Russia, growing even more in popularity, especially since a couple of small banks recently got shut down in processing Visa MasterCard. I think the Russians get nervous with credit cards and do prefer their wallets. But if you're not using those, if you as a merchant are not offering those wallets as part of your checkout process, it is going to be very difficult to do any significant business in Russia.
Okay, so I've lost count on how many different things you need to be able to accommodate if you're one particular merchant trying to serve these three humongous geographies. But before I try to do the math, let's finish out with Brazil. another really interesting market, very dynamic. Another set of challenges. There are lots of language challenges, and lots of people that are online but aren't yet shopping online. Why not? And what can be done to get them comfortable and perhaps accepting a payment method that is familiar to them?
Yeah, so Brazil's tricky for multiple reasons. You mentioned the languages and the currencies, of course, but the other part that's happened is Brazil's got some very tricky taxes that get served up on merchants and shoppers, which really increase the pricing for buying things online, and some of that doesn't always happen when they're purchasing in the store. The other trouble with Brazil is they just instituted some new laws on cross-border, and if you're not offering what we call local acquiring, there's a lot of declines for people
yep.
that are buying in Brazil. And we're here at a show in Vegas, and a very prominent executive went to check in, and his card was declined here at the hotel. And the reason was simply that they didn't, the hotel in Vegas did not understand how to process the payment with the new cross-border regulations. And then the last thing is there's a very local payment type called Boleto there, which is an online
yeah.
payment. And that's really, very popular, and that's growing very well. And not many people outside of Brazil understand how to use the Boleto. So it makes Brazil very, very complicated because of those three things.
So I guess it's not surprising, then, that given all of these, you know, country-specific idiosyncrasies and some of the regulatory and tax issues, that there isn't a greater percentage of cross-border commerce being done, and the percentage that you cited earlier of merchants who are able to do it isn't greater. So what's a merchant to do?
Well, we follow three simple principles for the merchant, and we model it off of an old real estate saying, location, location, location. We're saying you need to be local, 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 and you've got to be local, local, local on any device. So you really have to understand how that shopper is going to purchase. You know, Karen, think about this. For 35 or 40 years, we have trained shoppers that they can go into a store and swipe their card in their language and their currency with their favorite method. And so why, when they go to e-commerce, do we make it different? We're setting them backwards.
Right.
So if you don't do that to the merchant, you're just not going to have as easy access to shopper sales without getting their language, getting to their currencies, and really adopting whatever the popular payment methods are, whether the seven wallets that are in Russia or the Alipay in China, or being able to be local fire in Brazil, or be able to offer net banking in India, you're just going to have, your sales are going to suffer. And what we're trying to do here at QuickSnap is provide those services easily out of the box with no development to the merchants, so they don't have to worry about the compliance taxes and the local, local, local aspects of each one of these countries.
So when you work with merchants, do you tell them what they have to accept, or do they have to know that already?
Now, we actually provide them with templates that are already in their language currencies, and we suggest the local payment types that they should offer. The merchant always has the ability to change any of those settings, but that is all provided to them out of the box with what we call a buy now templates.
And as things change, because they always do, as new payment methods are adopted in these particular countries, do you have a process where you're constantly scanning the market and adding those to your portfolio of payments?
That's right. We have a team of people that that's their job, to just monitor the compliance, the taxes, and the payment methods and release the software accordingly. We're doing changes globally monthly on this.
Wow. Well, it's enough to make your head spin because there's certainly a lot to take into consideration, but it sounds like you've created a platform and an environment that takes the complexity out of it for the merchant that just wants to take advantage of a growing opportunity to reach new customers and to drive incremental sales.
That's correct.
Well, Ralph, I really look forward to talking to you again about some of the specific things that relate to security and perhaps some other common denominators that have to be considered that kind of go above and beyond just accepting these country-specific payment methods. So I look forward to talking to you again very soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Have a good day.
You too. Okay.